Today, our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 22. And this is a gospel Pentecost lesson. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But as I read these ancient words, listen for something new being spoken into your heart and your life at this point. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've heard two scripture lessons already. I would like to share one more with you before I make any comments. And it comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 12th chapter of that epistle, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Friends, this is the metaphor of all metaphors, the body of Christ. We talk about it all the time here. As I said, you know, last week I mentioned it. It is our mission statement here at Pleasant Grove, and we'll probably talk about it again next week. In fact, it goes beyond metaphor, really. It seems that for Paul, the idea crossed over into really the mystical even. And by that I mean somehow we are the body of Christ. It's not just a good talking point, you know, or illustration. It's not a simile. It's not we're like the body of Christ. No, we are the body of Christ. Folks, that should rock you. That should always shake you up. We are the body of Christ. Okay. Now, some of you know that I have just begun the process of looking for a new car. Okay, and that's a lot of fun. Now, it can be a little bit overwhelming if you haven't shopped for a new car recently. It's just a lot going on there. You see, you can't just compare one vehicle with another vehicle. You can't do that. You know, you can't say, I have a Honda Pilot right now. But I can't just say, I'm going to compare a Honda Pilot with a Subaru Ascent. You can't just do that. You can't say a Toyota Highlander with a Ford Explorer. Can't do that. You see, there are all these things that they call options, right? And so you have to make sure everything is the same on all the different vehicles. And it throws the whole process into chaos. Okay, do I need a heated steering wheel? Maybe not. Maybe not. Do I need floor mats? Probably. Do I need an engine? Absolutely. I got to have an engine. It's a very tiring process trying to determine what is required equipment and what is extraneous, even excessive. You know, evidently the same sort of confusion was going on in the early church as it was beginning to gather. You know, what is most important to our community? What is most important in the church? What kind of folks do we want? You know, what kind of folks do we need? What kind of folks are unnecessary? There seems to have been a whole big brouhaha going on as folks jostled for position within the early church. But then Paul steps in, and he reminds folks that the body of Christ has no optional parts. There's no obsolete or insignificant parts. Each has a vital part to play, a void to fill, a ministry to manifest. And the challenge was then, and has been ever since, is identifying that ministry. We are the body of Christ. We. Oh, did you know today was Pentecost Sunday? Did you really? Marcella. Don't look down. You didn't know that. Come on, Marcella. We talk about it every year. One day we get red in here. Beautiful red banners. Oh, we wish we could have them up every day. But you get one day, Pentecost day. You know, maybe you read it in the bulletin. You walked, oh, Pentecost. Or maybe you were here last week. I gave you the heads up then. Anyway, today is Pentecost. So I want to just give you a quick kind of review here. Pentecost originated as a Jewish holiday. The Greek word Pentecost means 50. You know, 50 as in 50th day. The Jewish Pentecost was a celebration of the 50th day after Passover. And the 50-day period represented the 7-week cycle of the first grain harvest. So they would come together on Pentecost and celebrate the first fruits from the field. It was an agricultural celebration in which they brought the best from their crops and said, here you go, God, this is yours. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Over time, this festival developed even further, and it began to celebrate the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Again, an act of providence. You know, so it would have been a very busy day in first century Jerusalem. Folks would have flocked to the city. The devout would have come there for the holiday. They would have come there to give thanks to God for God's goodness and God's mercy. And in so doing, they would have expressed a very basic affirmation of their faith. God is with us. Plain and simple. At the heart of Pentecost was a celebration of divine providence. God caused the rain to fall on the fields. God caused the sun to shine down on the crops. These things didn't happen by chance, they said. God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai to reorder their lives. And the people celebrated the fact that God was in their midst doing all these wonderful things. And that's what they celebrated at Pentecost. And when they came together, those early Christians came together, all this was swirling in their minds, all this history and theology and things. So they gathered there waiting for what God would do next. It had been 50 days since Easter, 50 days since the crucifixion. Where was God? Where was their power? Where was their mission as they waited? When Jesus was with them, great. Follow along. Lead us, Jesus. But now what do they do? What do they do? Where do they begin? 50 days, where was the purpose? Where was God? As they pondered their future that day, something happened. Exactly what? It's hard to say. Luke describes it this way. We heard Valerie read it. I'll read part of it again. Suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The imagery used in this long passage from Luke is fantastic language. It's intense language. It's Pentecost language. It's language and imagery used to convey the presence and power of the living God moving in the world. That's the point. Pentecost has been called the birthday of the church because it was at this point that a fledgling movement, religious movement, found its purpose, its power, and its God. Too often we think of Pentecost, you know, we think of speaking in tongues, right? But that's not what it's about at all. That's not what it's about. You know, fundamentally, the message of Christian Pentecost is the same as it was in an ancient festival observed in Judaism. Emmanuel, God is with us. In the fourth gospel, Pentecost is described a bit differently, and I read it for you today, just a moment ago. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Remember the Greek word pneuma? Pneuma means spirit, it means breath, it means wind. Receive the holy breath. Genesis 2, ringing in their minds, "And the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils a breath of life. And the human became a living being by the breath of God." That's Pentecost. God breathes in us. The Spirit of the living Christ animates our lives. That's a profound image, folks. And we call this imminent and pervasive presence, the Spirit of God. And that's what we're trying to celebrate here this morning. And we're here to celebrate Pentecost as a present reality, not a historical moment, but as a present reality in our lives as we wrestle with the part that we're called to play in the kingdom of God. Remember, there are no insignificant parts, no optional equipment. You know, nowhere in this recreative, you know, outpouring of God's living presence, nowhere is it symbolized more completely than in the lives of our young people, or as we old folks like to say, the next generation. Okay? So in order to gather up the significance of this day in the life of Christendom in general, and the life of Pleasant Grove specifically, we use Pentecost as a time to receive our confirmation class into the full membership of the church. And I always like to say that confirmation is not a sacrament of the church, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. Because in this act of the community of faith, the body of Christ in this place, God's presence touches our collective lives in a very unique and powerful way that goes beyond words. This year, we had 13 confirmants. 13. And we're going to receive 12 of them into membership today, and then we'll reschedule one for a later time. They've been meeting with me and with Ashley back since February, I think it was. And as they've been gathering, they've been presented with history and theology and just the faith tradition in general. And as I try to say each year, to me, the goal of the confirmation process is a very simple one. It is not to sit around and memorize a bunch of facts, a bunch of statistics or something. No, the primary goal of confirmation, as I see it, is to get our young people to begin to reflect on the nature of the religious life, specifically their religious life, you know, their faith. So today, they're going to put confirmation behind them, but it will not mark the end of anything, you know, from a theological point of view. No, from this day forward, every time that something profound happens in their lives, they lift up their hands and they go, why? They're going to be doing theology. We do it every single day. You may not call it that, but that's what you're doing. You know, why? Why? Today's not the ending. This is a commencement, a word that's thrown around frequently this time of year. Today marks a new beginning in the lives of these young people. Hopefully, they'll use what they have encountered in confirmation as a foundation upon which to build out their theological life. Friends, I say this over and over again. Our youth are not the future of the church. No, they're the present. Brennan, Julia, Izzy, Mason, Carly, Gigi, Alexa, Allison, Carter, Cole, Hannah, Andrew, and Valerie. We're counting on you. We're counting on you. As professing members of this church, you're being asked to model your life on that of Jesus. A life characterized by service to God and to others. And for us, this is gathered up in a question that you will all be asked in just a few moments. Listen carefully. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? You know, everyone who joins Pleasant Grove is asked that question. It's an extremely important question because it acknowledges that one's life has changed forever. As a reminder, there are no optional parts. Remember that. We all have our ministry to do. And that should never cease to amaze us or humble us. Many years ago, Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You remember the story. And he said, follow me. Follow me. And they did. And for the past 2,000 years, the call has gone out continually, generation after generation after generation, follow me. And people have had to make the same choice. Do you follow or do you not? Today our confirmands are making that choice. And we're reaffirming our choice. So my challenge to all of us is to take seriously the commitment we've all made. If you're a member of the church, of the United Methodist Church, you've made this commitment. Suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with life. Friends, it's Pentecost Sunday. Today we celebrate the divine breath that inspires our lives, that inspires this community called Pleasant Grove. It inspires us and drives us out into the world. May God bless our confirmands on their journey of faith, and may God help us to be faithful to commitments we have made, that we have made to ministry in this place. It's a great day. It's an amazing day here at Pleasant Grove. Thanks be to God. Amen.